Perhaps you have worked in a company that has had a vision statement. And the vision statement is something that is made about the future, or something that paints a picture about what the future can be like. A vision statement is something that is forward-looking. It's something that is put out there for others to read and to understand as part of goals and objectives that are desired within some organization. When we look in the Bible, we see Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, which says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he." Now, in thinking about this particular verse, "Where there is no vision, the people perish," the word vision in Solomon's day meant a word from the Lord. The word vision had reference to those prophets who, by divine inspiration, could look down the stream of time and see what would happen in the future. 1 Samuel 3 in verse 1 illustrates this point, where it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." That is, there weren't a lot of men who were inspired to speak the word of the Lord. But nevertheless, we know that Samuel was chosen by God to represent him in that critical period, in that transition from the time of judges to the time of kings. There was, however, a reason the word vision was used. God inspired these prophets that had sight for the future. They could see things that uninspired folks could not see. And in seeing these things, they were then able to prophesy to the people about how they needed to act, what they needed to do, and how they needed to change their ways to avoid certain disasters or to receive certain blessings that God had in store for them. Sometimes the prophets actually saw the past more clearly and learned lessons from the past and taught lessons from the past. Sometimes the prophets looked at the present and analyzed what was going on with an understanding that the ordinary person didn't have. And then sometimes the prophets looked to the future as well. This ability to see things from God's perspective was the prophet's vision. Now, we do not have inspired men today, but with God's help and with God's word, we can have vision as well. Looking into the future and seeing what things could be like. Trying to think about things the way that God wants them, according to His Word. And then making plans in preparation for those things to take place. Yes, we need to be able to look into the future and paint a vivid picture of what life can be like with God. Because painting that future picture is something that we all as human beings want to see. Humans are goal-oriented, and we need goals in order to go forward. And the very goals that we set and the objectives that we desire to meet, whether it is within our life or whether it is within the life of the church, is the vision that we want to have. How do we make a vision successful? How do we meet our objectives? How do we meet the goals that we set for ourselves as Christians and as the body of Christ in New Boston, Texas? That's what I would like for us to think about tonight as we think about key factors for vision to succeed. And there are three things that I would like to emphasize as we think about this. First of all, for vision to succeed, we need to have some core values. And I'll be talking about some of those core values in just a moment. Second, for vision to succeed, there needs to be communication. And then finally, for vision to succeed, there needs to be cooperation. And as we think about these things tonight, I hope that we can set the expectations that in our congregation here, that we can have some goals and objectives as we think about the coming year. Believe it or not, 2015 only has about 3 months left in it. Just one quarter. Do I got that right? October, November, and December, and that's it. And then we have a whole new year before us. Now we have some things that we do here on a yearly basis. And we want to encourage those things. And we want good participation in all of our events. We have some things that we do upon a monthly basis. And we want those things to have good participation. And we want to encourage everyone to be involved in those things. You see, all of these things that we do, for which we plan, and for which we set goals and objectives, are our vision of how we are setting about to accomplishing the work of the Lord here in New Boston, Texas. And so let's think about how we can make our vision successful. First of all, in order for a vision to succeed, we must have core values. Now, core values are things upon which we all agree. If we cannot agree upon our core values, then our vision will not succeed. Instead, if we have one group that has certain values, core values, and another group that has other core values, and a third group that has their set of core values, there's going to be constant friction and non-cooperation. And as a result of that, there will be infighting among ourselves. The Apostle Paul warned of this in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15 when he said, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." And we certainly don't want to fulfill that warning within our lives. But instead, we need to have some core values upon which we can all agree and upon which we can all go forward. And I would like to set forth at least three core values that we find in the Bible. First of all, unity is one of our core values. As we think about unity, we need to be committed to being united one with another. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." The Apostle Paul was exhorting us to have unity, to agree with one another about fundamental things. And the first fundamental thing that we need to agree about is the fact of unity itself. Are we going to have unity in 2016? I sure hope that each one is committed to that very thing. Unity is something that Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17 in verses 21 and following. He said, "Lord, I pray not for these only, but for all those who shall follow their teaching, that they would be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us." Unity was one of Jesus' core values, and it needs to be one of our core values as well. We find that upon which we must be united in Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 4 through 6, where we read, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Now there are seven things right there upon which we must be united. Unity, you see, is an effort. We've got to give diligence to it that it may happen. It doesn't come easy. It is something for which we must work. Unity, if it is not already, needs to be one of our core values. Another one of our core values should be personal evangelism and evangelism in general. And we use different ways of talking about this when we talk about personal evangelism. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but ever since I've been here, I've tried to have at least one sermon a month on personal evangelism, because that is one of the core values that Jesus had as well. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And we need to be involved in that work, just as Jesus was involved in that work. We have, of course, the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, where Jesus says, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." And so Jesus said that He would be with us, and He wants us to go and make disciples by baptizing and by teaching. We talk about evangelism as the birth into God's family or God's kingdom. Jesus answered and said unto him in John chapter 3 and verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so when we talk about evangelism and personal evangelism, we're talking about going out and talking to others about Christ and bringing them in so that they can learn and grow, become disciples, be born into the kingdom of God, and be saved instead of being lost. The evangelism is a core value that we all should share. There is also the core value that the Bible is the Word of God. And it is upon this core value that we base everything else that we do. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And of course, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." Here is our source document, if you will, for going out and doing personal evangelism and for maintaining the unity that we need in order to do that. And these core values form our fundamental vision that we have as God's people and as the body of Christ in New Boston, Texas. We take that great commission that Jesus has given us and we pursue it by going out and teaching others the gospel of Christ. And this is our vision, to have unity, to do evangelism, and to let the Bible be the standard for what is right in our lives. In order for vision to succeed, we must have core values. But secondly, for vision to succeed, we need to communicate. And we need to communicate regularly and frequently with one another. Where there is no communication, there is miscommunication. Because if we're not talking to one another, then we're not understanding one another. And if we're not understanding one another, then we're not going to be communicating. Consider some verses in the Bible that deal with communication. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, we read, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." In other words, let me rephrase this. Where you don't have any communication, everybody does what everybody else wants to do. They just do what they want to do without consideration for what others are thinking. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In other words, when we all get together and we talk about the things that we want to do as a congregation, we can be sure of one another and where we're at, and we can have safety in that. Think about Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22 as well. "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Do we have some purposes that we're trying to fulfill here at the New Boston Church of Christ? Well, I believe we do. Well, then we need to talk about those things. How to go forward. What to do. What needs to be done. And we need to let other people know what is on our mind. Let's not just assume that we all know what to do all the time. Because the fact of the matter is, we don't. I certainly don't know what to do all the time. And there are others who don't know what to do all the time. And we have to communicate in order to remind ourselves what's coming up, in order to plan for what's coming up, and in order to love one another as we should while we're trying to get the work done. Yes, we need to have good communication. Now, when we do talk to each other, we need to be truthful in what we say. Being truthful means that we're going to tell the truth, and we're not going to mislead or deceive or lie to one another. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, we read, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Sometimes it's difficult to say what needs to be said because we're afraid of what someone else might do in return. But if we all have the same vision, if we're all working toward the same end, if we all have the same purposes in mind, and we know that we're all working on this together to go forward, then that enables us to speak the truth, even though someone we think perhaps someone might not appreciate it. Just the opposite, in fact, when we speak the truth to someone, it may turn out that they do appreciate it and that they thank us for whatever item it is that they are trying to communicate with us. I know that on occasion, I'm just use myself as an example, that I tend to forget about things. And sometimes I schedule things and I put things on my schedule and then I forget about it being on my schedule and I'll schedule something else. And I'll have to go back and rework my schedule. Now, am I the only one that does that? What do you think? Probably not. But that's okay, because we work it out as we go along. And it's all right, as long as we're trying to get something done, as long as we're moving forward, as long as we are seeking to fulfill the Lord's vision in our life. You see, He has the greater purpose, and He puts us to work to fulfill that purpose. And as we seek to fulfill that purpose within our life, we're going to go about and doing things, and we're going to make some mistakes, and we're going to need to take some things back. We need to go ahead and go forward anyway, because that's what the Lord wants us to do. Being truthful means that we tell the truth. Being truthful means that we keep our commitments. One of the characteristics of the people who will dwell with the Lord in His holy hill, Psalm 15 tells us, is he that swears to his own hurt and does not change. You know, that's hard to do. When you make a commitment, we need to keep our commitments, whatever they might be. And sometimes keeping our commitments mean that we suffer some loss of some sort. Maybe we suffer some financial loss. Maybe we suffer loss of time. Maybe we suffer loss of or perceived loss of respect in the community or something like that. But the Lord says that He wants us to keep our commitments regardless of where that leads. And why is that? Because God keeps His commitments and He always follows through on what He says He's going to do. And we need to do the same. Speaking the truth means that others can depend upon our words. And they don't have to doubt whether or not we're going to keep our commitments. They don't have to doubt whether or not we are going to tell the truth. And they can go forward with their individual plans and purposes and goals and objectives, depending upon the information that they have in order to accomplish what they need to accomplish. You see, James tells us that we need to indeed let the things that we say be true. Let our yea be yea and our nay be nay. He says in James 5 and verse 12, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation." That's what we need to do. Just keep our commitments. And if we say yes, let it be yes. If we say no, let it be no. And then in communication, we need to make sure that a spirit of love prevails so that communication can be successful. You know, if there is not a spirit of love present when we are communicating with others, there's always going to be this underlying sense of distrust and disharmony. But if we let the golden rule apply to our efforts at communicating, things will be a lot better. In other words, if we want to be heard, then we must be willing to listen. Let's use our words wisely. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." And in 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 4 through 8, listen to what the apostle says about love and apply this to our efforts at communicating with one another. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." And if we will let love fill our efforts at communicating with one another, then our communication will not fail either. And then finally, as we think about things that will help vision to succeed, we think about cooperation. No one person can complete the vision that Jesus Christ has set before us all on their own. No one person can do that by themselves. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Even Jesus couldn't fulfill that by himself because he enlisted 12 apostles to go out and teach. And they enlisted others to go out and teach. In Ephesians 4 and verses 11 and 12 we read, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." You see, everyone has a role to play, and each one of us must find that role that we're going to play. No one person will be permitted not to participate in some way. In other words, we want everyone to be involved in something as we go forward fulfilling this great vision that Jesus Christ has for the church here in New Boston. The Bible says that everyone can do something. What are some key factors for vision to succeed? First of all, there are our core values of unity, of evangelism, and of Bible study. Second, communication needs to be there in order for vision to succeed. We need to be talking to one another. We need to be truthful in our conversations, and we need to have a spirit of love for that communication to do well. And finally, in order for vision to succeed, we need to cooperate. Even Jesus didn't accomplish everything that he accomplished by himself, but he used apostles. And we need to use the help of one another in order to fulfill Jesus' vision within our life as well. Everyone can do something. And so let's set about thinking about how we are going to carry out the goals and objectives that we have here for the year 2016 as we think about fulfilling the Lord's vision. The Lord has a vision for every single person on the face of the earth. And he has a vision for you. And he wants you to be part of his body, the Church of Christ. Are you a part of that body this evening? You can become a Christian by hearing his word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're a part of the body of Christ, but perhaps you have gone astray from the vision that he has set forth, and we invite you to come back to that vision at this very hour, to give yourself to him. And if you need to make that known at this time and ask for the prayers of the church, we're ready to pray with you and for you. If you have a need at this time, come now while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.